Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Welcome, everyone, to the Medical Advantage podcast series. As always, I am your host, Selena Dusso, and today we are joined by Monica Grimmett and Jenny DeLoresco, two of our consultants here at Medical Advantage who bring their expertise in healthcare technology services, their wealth of experience in billing, coding, EHR optimization, and practice technology has made them truly an incredible resource for today's topic, as today we'll be discussing the E&M coding changes announced for 2021. We will walk through what changes are taking place this year, implications for practices, and much more. So with that, Monica, Jenny, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We're really excited to discuss such an important and timely topic. To get us started, would you like to just introduce yourselves, tell us a bit about what you do and what brings us here today?
Sure. My name is Monica Grimmett, and I am working with MAG as an independent contractor, and I've been working with them since November. I have a history of operations, medical coding, and billing, a lot of heavy arms with the revenue cycle, with elbow-to-elbow support with creating CBOs, also training these billing staff, reviewing and auditing any type of EMR system that includes ECW, Athena, Greenway, some practice fusion. So I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Monica. Jenny?
And hi, I am Jenny DeLoresco. I am a RCM consultant here at MAG. I have been with MAG for about 2 years now. Prior to being here, I was an application analyst and trainer for a large health system. I was also a lead trainer for a large billing department for about 8 years. So I am also happy to be here, and thanks for having me.
Great. We're so excited to have both of you. I truly can't think of two better people to be here with us today to cover these topics. So as we start to dig into our content for today, of course, hot topic in healthcare right now is these coding changes and updates for 2021, which I understand these changes are quite significant. So could you speak a little bit to why this is so important to practices this year in particular?
Sure. So the reason it's important is because the AMA has decided to kind of do a revamp after 25 years of coding, changing those coding guidelines for outpatient evaluation and management. And so with that, they have decided to kind of reevaluate a lot of the type of office visits and how they're coded, what the expectations will now be for providers that can include nurse practitioners, physician assistants, as well as, you know, surgeons that have offices where they work in the medical office field. So what they were doing is just trying to make sure they got the most out of their revenue cycle management and claim submission workflows, and want to make sure that they're able to see and actually comprehend what those changes have been so they can apply that and get their staff ready to see those changes.
That's fantastic. And, you know, as we know, a big part of this is making the coding process really work better for all staff and clinicians. So let's dig into some of the details of this big announcement. There have been two really distinct coding elements that have been eliminated, that is history and physical exam. So can you tell me a little bit about why this change was made and what practices will do now in place of them?
Yeah, I can speak to that. So providers will no longer be required to document a certain level of history of exam to satisfy the code criteria. It will be more of the provider's decision of what levels of history and exam are required to treat the patient. So clinicians can now choose whether medical decision-making or time documentation can determine the appropriate E&M code. So it kind of puts the decision more on the provider.
That's great. And of course, medical decision making is a really important part of the E&M coding process. And this year, some modifications have been made to MDM. So let's talk about that next. What are some of those changes that have been made to really make this a little bit easier on the clinicians?
Sure. Well, the code descriptors for 99202 and 99215 were revised to include medically appropriate history and or examination, and the time designations were also revised in each code, and Monica can add to that as well.
Yeah, so Jenny hit that right on the head with those revisions. With that, they did get rid of the 99201. And so now it's basically going to be the level twos is where we're going to start, especially for those new patients, because now they're expecting, you know, a little bit more time to be put forth into those visits instead of so much as the history and exam portion of that.
Right. And I know the deletion of that 99201 code has caused some questions. Can you help us understand a little bit more clearly why this was eliminated and what that process looks like going forward?
Sure. So the reason they just eliminate that is because they found that many physicians should just take more notes or take note that that code has been deleted because the reason was that there's the same level of that medical decision making. So when you're using the table that they've provided that now identifies that they didn't find that the 99201 was as significant as before. And so with that, they just kind of did away with it. And they kind of went into an explanation and breakdown of the medical decision making table that lets you know that starting with the 99202 would best prohibit or best explain those type of visits. So that was just a decision that they decided after decades of using that code.
That's great. And it, you know, it, of course, this is a little bit of a change in workflow, but and once practices are able to adjust to these changes, it really will help with some confusion and allow them to have a little bit more autonomy in their coding process going forward. Another important change that has been announced is a few new codes, and that's an add-on code for extended visits and a new complexity of service code. So can you explain what those are and how they're going to be used?
Sure. So for the 2021 E&M updates, they're also going to include those new codes that you just kind of mentioned. That 99417 is a new add-on code, and that's going to be for the extended visits that's going to be used to bill for face-to-face as well as non-face-to-face visits. And then with the new complexity code, which is GPC1X, which is a complexity code of service code, which helps report encounters, that's going to require a little bit more work than is described in the CPT code. So that's where they're really going to have the special health needs. They're going to be addressed continually over time. So that's their goal in just making sure that, you know, again, physicians or clinicians are really digging deep to make sure that what they're billing, if they don't have enough time now that is time-based, that they use those add-on codes to justify those patient visits or the services that are they're providing.
Thank you, Monica. And so as we're walking through this, we kind of see a theme that I had mentioned before, and that's, you know, giving a little bit more autonomy for clinicians in their coding process and being able to justify the time and their medical decision making. So let's discuss coding based on time and MDM. Can you speak to that process just a little bit?
I can. So for time now, so the physician or other qualified healthcare professional can include certain activities. Those include preparing to see the patient, obtaining or reviewing separately obtained history, performing a medically appropriate examination, counseling and educating the patient, ordering meds, tests, or procedures, referring and communicating with other healthcare professionals, documenting clinical information in the electronic health record, and interpreting results and care coordination. So those are the things that can now be documented based on time. And they have to make sure that this is done by either a physician or a qualified healthcare professional, not clinical staff.
Thank you, Jenny.
Has anything else to add?
Nope, you've summed it all up.
Fantastic. So as we start to wrap up here just a little bit, of course, I want to remind our audience that this is really a high level overview of some of the bigger changes that are coming. We do have a webinar coming up in a few weeks where we'll be talking through this in a little bit more detail. You know, we understand this can be a little bit overwhelming, a little bit confusing. You know, of course, there's many documents and charts to go through of all these changes that are taking place. So we will be hosting a webinar in a few weeks where we'll sort of be walking through that in a little bit more detail. Before we wrap up for today, I do just want to touch on one more thing, and that is the ICD update document and some of the implications with COVID. So Monica, Jenny, would you mind touching on that just a bit?
Sure. And Jenny, feel free to jump right in too. But with the new codes, a lot of coders will have noticed that we now have 22 chapters in our ICD-10 codebook. And I know that can be a little bit overwhelming for some, especially for us older coders, because we were just so used to the ICD-9 and then having to jump to ICD-10 after we memorized so many codes. Now they've added a few ICD-10 codes that go directly into that coronavirus infection that took over pretty much the entire world beginning last year, was really prominent in here in the States as well. And so what they've done is they've given some coronavirus infection guidelines that are going to be found in chapter 22 of your ICD-10 book. And so I heavily, heavily recommend that if you are a coder that's been coding for a while and you have not done any updating or any CEU follow-ups due to the new changes or the addition to your ICD-10, I recommend that you take a look at it, because it goes over, you know, how to code for confirmed cases, you know, sequencing of codes, things of that nature. They even give you the actual codes now so that you're not having to look that up. And so what Jenny and I have done here for MAG is we thought it would be helpful, especially for our clients, is that we would, you know, at least give you all like a little cheat sheet or a handout to kind of directly point out those guidelines so that you're not looking all over and having to re-explain it. And I think that's the thing that Jenny and I really liked doing when we worked on this project to bring it to our clients, is because what we decided to do is if we gave you all a snapshot, then it would be easier for you to pinpoint the exact changes so that you're not trying to recreate the wheel and figure it out. And again, with the ICD-10 codes, we did the same thing with giving you a snapshot of what's changed, what's happening, along with the ICD-10 codes for the exposures, the sequencing regulations for guidelines for coding. And so hopefully you all will have some time to take a look at that. Jenny and I really thought it would be a great way for you all to really dig deep in making sure that you're coding correctly, especially for the coronavirus patients that may come across your office.
Yeah, then I can add on to that too, where, you know, we've had quite a bit of experience already in helping you build the proper tools into your EHR to be able to support these new guidelines. So that's a big question that we've had is, you know, we see the changes. How do we, you know, incorporate these changes into our EHR so it's easy for our providers? And that's something that we've had the opportunity to help clients with as well.
Jenny, Monica, that is absolutely fantastic. I've had the opportunity to review that as well. And, you know, it makes these very confusing, very overwhelming topics much more digestible, you know, and easy to identify places where people might be needing to make more changes or might have questions. And speaking of questions, for anybody that has questions or is looking for more information, we invite you, of course, to reach out to us at info@medicaladvantage.com. If you have any questions or you want to be in touch with Monica or Jenny, we are happy to mediate that for you. Additionally, we always have updates, additional blog articles, white papers, resources on our website, medicaladvantage.com. This is a great way to kind of keep up to date on some of these changes and resources that are available for you, especially during such a busy year. I do also want to mention again the upcoming webinar that we will have with Monica and Jenny. later in March. So feel free to reach out to us should you like to participate. Registration information for that webinar can be found on our LinkedIn page as well as Facebook and our website. That will be coming in the next week or so. So as always, Jenny, Monica, thank you so much for your time and your input in this. This is such an important topic. I really think you've helped make it much more digestible, and we'll be digging into it in even more detail in the coming weeks. And to our audience, thank you always for joining, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage Podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.